We've all enjoyed the high drama of documentaries and films that feature Big Pharma as the baddie, the cartels of drug companies that quietly control the world. But Big Pharma is as close as your own doctor. When he or she prescribes you a drug, it can be the end moment in a plan that goes right back to the original testing of that drug. Psychiatrist John Jureidini is co-author of a new book that goes deep into the belly of Big Pharma and exposes the tricks and spin that lie between clinical trials and the successful marketing of a drug. The Illusion of Evidence-Based Medicine covers in part John's own experience helping to expose dangerous claims made about antidepressants for children. He spoke to The Wire's Annie Haswell.
It might seem shocking to hear this, but actually probably a large minority or even a majority of what's published in medical journals has a marketing imperative attached to it rather than a primary scientific imperative. Now, the two aren't necessarily at odds, but when they are at odds, sadly, the marketing tends to be the dominant feature.
So there's plenty of books, films dealing with the Big Pharma, the idea of this sort of shadowy profit-based motive that sits behind so much drug development these days. Can we pinpoint a moment when the pure motives of science were taken over by big business, when big business met medicine, so to speak?
I think it's always been there, like the kind of snake oil approach, which really, you know, the responses to trying to stop people from profiting from cynical manipulation of vulnerable people was what led to the antecedents of evidence-based medicine. So the task of evidence-based medicine, or the predecessor of evidence-based medicine, was to disprove the benefit of things that were either harming people or just taking their money under false pretenses. So that tension between business, then small-scale business, and the truth has always been there. And so in the 90s, there was a formalization of that wish to stand up against the accepted wisdom and to replace it with scientific rigor. But what's happened is that the big players, the pharmaceutical industry and self-interested doctors, have been able to turn that to their advantage, so that instead of protecting patients, it's actually sometimes hurting patients.
Can we have a look at one of the examples in your book, which is the paroxetine, which is an antidepressant for kids, and your research to show how that trial, or that the trials that tested that drug, were subverted in the long run to be almost the opposite result?
The original publication of a study of paroxetine, which is an antidepressant that's used for both children and adults, the whole story is full of shocking things. For example, the only reason that Smith, Klein, Beecham were researching paroxetine in children, or the main reason, was that the FDA, Food and Drug Administration in the US, had set up a system whereby they were encouraging people to do research in children because it's not something that drug companies naturally do. So as an incentive, they would offer a six-month patent extension if you did a study in children of a drug that was being used in adults. So that was the main reason why Smith, Klein, Beecham did the drug, $1 billion basically, because they were making $2 billion a year from paroxetine. So if they could extend their patent by 6 months, that was big money. So then the study was done, the methodology of the study was relatively sound, but it was the reporting of it that was a problem. The study actually showed that paroxetine wasn't any better than placebo and that it was actually dangerous for children, and they reported it as being better than placebo and being safe. And it wasn't until a US law firm sued on behalf of some patients who'd been hurt by the drug and obtained drug company documents, and they asked me to look at some of those documents, and my co-author and I, Lehman McHenry, examined those documents in great detail and found that there were huge, really what amounted to fraudulent misrepresentation of the data in order essentially to make profit.
So what was the result of that in the long run for the drug company itself?
Well, that contributed to a course of events whereby the company, now GlaxoSmithKline, was fined $3 billion by the American Department of Justice for the misleading promotion of five drugs, one of which was paroxetine in children. And the striking thing about that is that their share price then went up because that actually allowed more for the fine than... and for them, it's the cost of doing business. In that same year, they made $46 billion profit. So $3 billion, which seems like a big enough fine to worry somebody, was just part of the cost of doing business for that year.
Professor of Psychiatry and Paediatrics at the University of Adelaide, John Giordini, co-author of The Illusion of Evidence-Based Medicine with Lehman B. McHenry. It's published by Wakefield Press.